Hello and welcome to today's Jumpstart around defense in depth Windows security. My name is Milad Astaner. I'm a premier field engineer at Microsoft Golf and just actually recently relocated to Dubai office. So it's really interesting to see, like, for me, coming from Germany with the cold weather, now at all being in a sunny place where I try to hide myself now from outside going out because it's sometimes like even 40 degrees. It's really, really hot there. So talking about myself as a PFE, I do a lot of presentations around Windows security, Windows reliability, as well as recently with our change to a device and services company around our devices strategy bottom up. As a PFE, Erdal, you know, I'm mainly responsible going into customers, large enterprises, and talk about how they can proactively manage their environment and how they make sure that they are secure against people like you, I think, Erdal, because if I remember right, you have a weird certification called Ethical Hacker or something.
By the way, did you say I'm being secure?
Yes.
That's a good point. Can we talk a little bit about it? I'm pretty sure you will like us speaking about it as well. Yes, thank you, Milat. My name is Erdal Özkaya. I work for Chem Technologies, actually, selling load balancers.
Oh, really?
But this is, yeah, the job which pays my bill. I do also work for Charles Stewart University as a lecturer.
Okay.
I'm lecturing master classes on security. Besides that, as you said, I'm a certified ethical instructor.
Okay.
What does this mean? I'm pretty sure most of the people do know that. It's a certification by EC Council, which basically proves that we are here to learn. Actually, today, you are here to learn. But my job is to make sure that everybody knows how hackers think.
Okay.
Because the key point here is, if you understand how a bad guy...
Yeah.
Things you will then be able to stop him.
Okay, interesting. And Erdal, if I remember right, you just recently got like an award where you talked about hacking as well, right? I mean, it was in Australia.
Yes,
I mean, there's a funny story around that, I think. Would you like to share that one?
Yes, to be honest, I got a couple of awards. I was selected by Microsoft Speaker of the Year. Mm-hmm. I know, you know, funny enough, like me and Milat, both of us are from Germany.
Yeah.
Both of us, our parents are Turkish and a little bit Arabic mixed. Probably you are noticing this from our accent as well, but seriously, this is not our fault.
We try hard.
He lives in Dubai. I live in Australia, and this is what's coming out, traveling all over the world. Now, back to the award. Yeah. As I said, I'm in a Microsoft Most Valuable Professional for the last 6-7 years, I think.
Okay.
Doing lots of community work, and I was selected also by EC Council Instructor of the Year globally.
Okay.
But last Saturday, I was selected by a community, the Professional of the Year, and I had my beautiful speech ready. Then this guy was reading the abstract. Here, Erdal Özkaya is a certified ethical hacker. He, you know, even probably didn't read before. Then certified ethical instructor. Okay. You know, I had to go and explain lots of business people that I'm not the hacker. My job is to teach everybody to stop the hackers, what we're going to do hopefully today as well.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, so let's give the audience a little bit of an overview around what we will talk today. We'll talk first about the threat landscape and how it really changed, right? I mean, we see different certain of attack scenarios than we used to see like back in 2 or 3 years ago. Then we move over in module 2, talking about key principles of security, where I know you have a big passion around that part. And then moving over to understanding your enemy. So all about what is the typical hacker behaviors and how do they think about what how to attack certain areas of your computer, how they get started. Moving over then to the faces of hackers, right? So each of the individual faces a hacker do to hack an environment. Moving over then to, I think it was motivation of hackers, right?
That's, yes.
What is this motivation of hackers in general, Erdal?
So there is always a purpose. It's either money, it's either revenge, espionage. So if you look in the news, I'm pretty sure most of you do know that around a decade ago, there was not too much IT security news.
Yeah.
But today, there is no newspaper or no online blog which is not talking about IT security.
Correct.
There is a breach nearly every hour. Forget about the day.
Yeah.
So what can we do to protect it. Again, if we read the news, we're going to see that some of them try to steal, some of them try to share, some of them look good, some of them, mm-hmm. We're going to concentrate all about this in that section.
Okay, very good. And then, of course, we will cover pass the hash, right? Because that's one of the things we see happening in the news. And lastly, we'll talk about the new security capabilities coming in with 8 and 8.1 release from Windows, as well as I will share and showcase some of the cool tools like Security Compliance Manager, Baseline Analyzer, and how you can use them really to protect or to foster your security hardening concept. When we look into this model specifically, it's really covering the threat landscape, how it started, what are we seeing today as Microsoft, or even like Erdal, I mean, you will agree to, I think, to most points that it doesn't matter which company we're looking into, IT security is going in mainstream, definitely, like the whole conversation, like you said, we see it every day in the news, and we will make sure that you guys have clear understanding on the mitigation capabilities available for you. So Erdal, how about you show us really, how do we get hacked?
All right. Just to show the demo environment, I'm going to be very honest. Because of the recording here, I had to pre-record only. We're going to do many live demos, but this demo is going to be pre-recorded for you, mm-hmm. Which I done this morning just before the recording because we had a little bit issues in the demo environment here.
I can confirm. I mean, the last email I got from Erdal was, I think, at 4 a.m. in the morning.
All right. So, for this environment, I build a computer with Backtrack. Now the new version is out, what we call Linux. A Backtrack computer. Yeah. We're going to use on Backtrack a tool called Metasploit. Mm-hmm. There is a community version, free, for everybody to go and download it from Rapid7.
Yeah.
And there's also pro version if you really think you are a security professional and you need to do some kind of test, you can go buy it as well.
Testing your environment, for example.
Right? As I said, I'm using Backtrack, the free version, mm-hmm. which is now replaced with Kali. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use Backtrack with Metasploit, and I'm going to launch a shell. I'm going to create a virus.
You're creating a virus?
Yes. I'm going to create a virus.
Okay.
I'm going to share it on the internet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to expect someone to click on it. So if I tell you, hi, Milad, this is a virus. Would you take it off me?
Not at all.
It's a beautiful, it is a beautiful mouse, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but you're an ethical hacker at the same time, so
I'm the ethical, beautiful. So, you can trust me because my job is to help people to protect themselves.
Of course.
But if I give you a virus, you will not take it.
No.
But what if I give you a virus inside a beautiful mouse?
I would probably go for it because I don't know if that's a virus, right?
Yeah, you don't know. I'm not going to tell you. So, most of you, let's be honest. I'm asking this question to everybody. You don't have to answer it loud. I'm not going to hear it anyway. So, be honest. How many times did you download a PDF which is copyrighted for free? How many times did you download an MP3, a movie, free Windows from that website? Once? Twice? Please don't answer it. I mean, I'm asking the camera crew, the crew here. We have many people at the background. You, Milad, what I'm trying to say is...
I never.
I'm sure. As Microsoft, I'm pretty sure you are not. So the second question is, why do you think the people are going to give it to you for free? Seriously, why? Do they allow you that much? Do you think they spend all this time and effort to crack the software so they get the fan base?
No.
As we have on Facebook?
Yeah, well, you have a bigger fan base here, so... so by the way, I don't like him on Facebook, like me on Facebook.
Please go ahead.
We have a kind of competition between us.
Yeah, I'm leading him with 6,000, so please help him.
Please, yeah. No, really, please, guys.
Okay, so back to the question.
Yeah.
Seriously, why? Did you ever thought about it? Hey, I got this book for free. What are you going to movies and paying for that movie? Look, I did download for free.
Yeah.
So what they do is, which we're going to demonstrate later, they use wrappers.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a Christmas present or doesn't matter which part of the world you are now. It's a present which is wrapped. Like this is a beautiful coffee cup, I got water inside.
Yeah.
Okay, it looks like coffee, but you don't know what is inside. So in this demonstration,
like the box of Pandora. Huh?
Yes. If you can switch to my environment, that's backtrack. As I said, only for this video, I'm taking applications, backtrack, vulnerable exploration tools. From there, I'm going to network exploit, and I'm launching Metasploit with MSF console. All right, it's going to take a few time to load up. As you can see, as soon as it's load up, again, this is the free version. At the moment, they got the updated one. I'm going to start to write the virus. To be honest, I'm not doing anything. I'm just adding the code. MSF payload Windows / meter / reverse TCP. So I'm creating a TCP shell, which is going to connect me to that host.
Okay.
So at the moment, I'm going to create a virus with my IP address. Please look in your left upper side in your screens. As soon as I type the location, desktop, and for you, I'm going to call it NVA demo virus. What a creative name, right?
So you're creating an NVA virus?
If you check the top right screen, as you can see,
okay,
the virus is going to create it for you. So it's so easy. So I'm gonna go ahead, I'm gonna create one more. You know, I'm gonna use the same command. So for the people, they missed the first one.
Okay.
This time I'm gonna call the virus backdoor. Let me just type it in.
So why is this happening? Like, what is happening with the virus specifically? What happens after?
Metasploit is using some vulnerabilities.
Okay.
Found in any other operating system. Okay. And they put it in so you can go ahead and test it.
Okay.
And with this vulnerability, as you're seeing now, I'm creating a reverse shell. So basically, the virus is there. As soon as I get it, I'm going to share it in my torrent website, in my free file sharing website, in some search engines, and I'm going to expect, it's like phishing.
Okay.
I'm going to put my bet
and see what comes
up.
Okay.
Okay. So this is the command again.
What's the mitigation against that?
We're going to talk about it very shortly. Let me just do that. So backdoor is there. Now I'm going to move to my Windows 7 PC.
So is that an exploit like you see a lot of times happening
right
now? Yes,
that's my Windows 7. Okay. Works with Windows 8 as well. Not that specific exploit.
So that exploit is mitigated in the 8 or?
We will talk about it as well. You know, this is, of course, very basic edition. So I'm going straight to the share.
Okay.
And I'm going to double click straight into virus.exe. I know you will not do that. But you will not say no for free Windows 8.1 software, right? So I'm going to save the target. I'm going straight to desktop. You know, you can download both of them. This is IE9. I specifically use older version as this has been fixed by Microsoft. Okay. As you can see, even the older version smart screen did block it. So now we got the virus. We found our victim. They did download them. I'm going to use an exploit. For this, I'm typing use exploit. I'm going to create a handle. Now I'm inside the handler. As you can see, I just zoomed into the module. Now I'm setting the payload. And it's a Windows payload. Yes, you can find the other payloads for other operating system. And I'm going to meterprete again. And remember, it was a reverse TCP shell.
Yeah.
Now we are inside the handler again. I'm going ahead and typing set LHost. And now I can see who did download the virus.
Oh, really? Right?
Yes, it's the IP address of my Windows 7 desktop. Why? Because once you go to file server, you can mm-hmm. see the connected the clients, right? Yeah. Thank you very much, dear victim. Enjoy your free software, free ebook. I'm running the exploit. Again, we are not here to teach Metasploit, okay?
Yeah.
If you want to learn Metasploit, please go ahead and look in their website. They got a huge database where you can learn it. All right, remember, our user is here. He is ignoring,
as usual.
The messages, which I'm pretty sure you're going to give us some stories. He is double-clicking the virus.
Correct.
Which is wrapped.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just to prove the fact the virus is working in the background, I'm going to use an inbuilt command, the netset. Mm-hmm. You will see netset is going to do a protocol analysis for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to show me the status of the net, right?
Yeah.
And you will see my virus is already sending some sync packet out to me. Sorry, the hacker. I'm not hacker, right? And that's just usual establish DNS. Oh, Control-C, sorry. Let me type again. Let's scroll up. You're going to see 4444 connection port, which I have just created. So there is already an active connection sending sync packet back to my Metasploit. Now I'm going to go into the session. And I know this is session ID 1.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to interact with the session. So I can have multiple sessions, of course.
Okay.
Interaction with session 1, shell, bala bing, bala boom. And we are inside Windows. There he is. Oh, my son. I was showing him how you can create a virus. I was teaching him. I just created a text. You're going to see that I'm connecting to the text here, MD secret files. Of course, not MD, sorry. I just done a small mistake.
Yeah.
You know, let's go to CD. Now I'm going to browse the computer remotely. C drive. You can see credit card data. I'm going inside users. Mm. Now you can see the whole users.
Wow.
Admin, CH, public, student. Now I'm going to zoom inside the administrator.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking, what should I steal? What should I steal?
I would go for the credit card data.
Yes. All right, CD. Let's go to users. I would go to the administrator. Why? Because once I own the administrator,
I own
the whole system.
Yeah.
Credit card data could be a honeypot, which we can talk about it as well. Yeah. So this is the admin's files. Now I'm creating a LMA text.
Mm-hmm.
You can see the test is there, lma.txt. You don't believe me? Let's go to Windows 7.
Yeah, shows from the Windows box.
And lma.txt. It's right there.
Wow.
Now go to the C drive. Users.
Mm-hmm.
All the users are here. So it is that easy to get hacked. It's that easy to get hacked.
Okay.
So next time, when you download something, think twice. Next time, when you ignore a smart filter alert, think three times.
Yeah.
Next time, Milad, when you run an MBA session, make sure you get not the hacker, okay?
sounds good. Actually, there's also one more element, right? If you look into user account control, like how many times people just ignore UAC prompts and just presume that everything will be just fine if they just click on OK, even through the warning says clearly, like the publisher is unknown or the publisher is not verified, or UAC blocks sometimes applications, but still people tend to ignore it and just say, yeah, no problem. I think I know. The guy who wrote it or the guy who published it. And just like you said, right? I mean, that could happen like this, a malicious website. A guy tried to get more information and just wrapped something in. And then basically what happens is he downloaded it, UAC prompt comes up. And even through, you think you're downloading the right thing. You are having the issue then that you have someone like Erdal who writes that exploit and just waiting for you on the other side with his box and say, ha-ha, I got another victim.
I'm going to give an example here. Do you remember Windows Vista? Many of you did complain about it, especially UAC. Yes, I'm going to be honest as well. It was annoying me as well. But the idea was great, which was address in Windows 7, right? We had that beautiful UAC control panel.
Correct.
Where you can say, notify me.
Yeah.
When I want, not when you think it's important.
Correct.
That little UAC, please, next week, if you're attending Microsoft Tech Ed, come and watch our session. If not, you can always go to channel9.msn.com, speakers, Erdaloskaya, Tech Ed, and we are going to demonstrate the importance of UAC. Again, I'm going to do this demo in a more advanced environment where you're going to see UAC actually can block this attack if you can, if you can start to listen.
All right, cool. Okay, so just a warning I think we need to give here specifically with a jumpstart like this. I mean, we're going to show a lot of potential exploits and how hackers behave. And with that, obviously, we'll talk about hacking tools. And what is important here, when we are talking about them, it's not something we want to encourage people to use them. It's really that you understand how hackers think so that you are able to mitigate the risk in your own environment, right? So we do not recommend that you use them in any live target environments, in your production environment. If you want to test it, but, well, like I said, test it in a test environment, obviously, right? So do not do it on your production machines, do not do it on your own laptop, which is connected to the internet and so on. Test it within a secure environment.
So if you got Windows 8, all what you have to do is, Pro, I assume, okay? Go ahead and install Hyper-V client. It's free. Build your environment. Make sure your Hyper-V client is not connected to your host.
Yeah.
Test it.
Correct. Build a private network basically in Hyper-V, and then you can go ahead and test it out. All right. So who's the target audience, Erdal, like for this specific session? I think we'll be covering security architects, IT professionals, right?
I think everybody.
Everybody?
Everybody who touches a computer. Of course, we're going to focus more on people they are interested on security,
exactly.
Such as administrators, such as IT pros, such as developers.
For primary firm, I think mid-size enterprise scenario specifically, right?
Yes.
I mean, I don't think we will see a lot of passage attacks for like this small consumer guy who just bought a new computer. And the son tries to annoy him with pass the hash.
By the way, if you're a small business owner, don't go away because this interests you as well. So if you have a business or if you have one computer, the things hopefully which you're going to learn today is going to help you to open your eyes.
Beautiful. Can you do that again one more time?
No, sorry. Only one.
Okay.
You can watch the recording and pause it if you really want to.
All right. So if you look into the threat landscape today, I mean, really, it did change a lot, right? I mean, if I remember right, like back in Windows Millennium XP timeframe, I mean, remember the Millennium emails going out or the Melissa Love letter? But today, I mean, that's not happening a lot, right? I mean, today we're looking into cyber war, we're looking into espionage, we're looking into targeted attacks against government accounts, against bigger enterprise, right? So the threat landscape is changing dramatically. But what is interesting to see is that a lot of the things happening right now is coming also from the user perspective, right?
Once upon a time, people used to hack servers. Once upon a time, hackers used to love servers because everything used to be stored in the servers.
Correct.
But now, which one is easier to hack? End user?
Are you looking at me?
No. You're the only one here, which I can point.
Look at the camera crew. You
know? All right. End user, or you know that Microsoft infrastructure, which has all these firewalls, all these enterprise security policies, this and that. So who's an easier target for me?
The user.
If I can be the man in the middle between you and your server, I will be able to be you. Yes. Not me, but people do steal your identity. Yeah, I know your credit card, you don't mind, you got insurance. But what if I steal you? What will you do then? Just think, please, just for a second.
Yeah, agree. And particularly now, if you look into all those new devices about being a mobile-first organization and looking into the megatrends, right? I mean, we have megatrends like big data, of course, we have social, but one of the biggest passions, I mean, for us is probably the mobility megatrend, right? And mobility is bringing a lot of value into companies, right? But it is a challenge sometimes in, if you look into it from the security perspective, right? Because the end perimeter is not the one we used to have, right? I mean, back in 2009, 2008 timeframe, we knew exactly, okay, so this is our infrastructure. We know exactly where our system server, system centers, server, it's infrastructure servers. We knew exactly, okay, how many desktop PCs we have, which offices we have. And we knew exactly when we need somebody, we know exactly, okay, this is a company to call for that purpose. This is a company for this, right? But now with BYOD, with mobility, while we want to provide the users like the flexibility they need to have new work scenarios, we have the issue that the perimeter itself is disappearing because now people expect anytime, anywhere connection. They want to have the ability to work not only within the office, but also at the favorite coffee shop next door. And that's why it is important really to understand, okay, what are the security capabilities we need to put in place in order to support these scenarios, right?
Definitely, yes.
Okay. If you look into BYOD in general, so bring your own device, it is definitely a top priority. I mean, I talk a lot with recently with major accounts from Microsoft, and they're all really interested in BYOD and enable those scenarios for their customer, for their end users. But they have concerns, which is fair enough, right? They need to know, okay, so what happens if I'm if my user is sitting in the coffee shop and lose his tablet, right? What is happening with the data? So how do I secure that data? And we do have mitigation options in place, like remote business data removal, which I will showcase, I think it's the last module as well, in order to mitigate it. So it's just finding a balance between, what I keep saying is, you need to find a balance in your structure around performance, user acceptance, as well as security, right? It's always a balance in between them.
Can I intercept for a second?
Sure.
Look at this. I got one. Yeah. And a laptop, which you see all my demos. Two PCs for myself. Yeah. I got two phones. Can you show your Surface? Your laptop, which you can't
one,
see?
No.
So, two people, not just three countries, six passports. Also, many devices. Most of you, you have more than one device as well.
Correct.
Which is actually letting hackers get happier. Why? Because the more you got, hopefully, that's what they hope,
yeah,
the more you're going to ignore where they can go into your space a bit more.
Correct. Definitely. And basically, it's always like the chicken and the egg story also, right? I mean, if you look into all the improvements we made as an, from the operating system point of view at all, at the same time, like it's not really related to Microsoft, but any IT company like who's providing software or device, whatever, right? We are trying to put mitigation options in place. But at the same time, it's a race against the hackers, against malware engineers, against this huge community, which we will talk a little bit about later in the, I think it's module 4, about the motivation of the hackers, right? But because we are putting new security capabilities in place, at the same time, guess what? The hacker is also finding new ways to get into those systems. So it's always a chicken and the egg story there.
Can I ask a question? Which one comes worse, the chicken or the egg?
Well, that's a good question, Earl. I mean, it's a good...
So, seriously,
I don't know,
security or...
Or?
Yeah, if you ask me, security starts always first. But let's be honest. Let's ask all the software developers. Not today, a few weeks back. It used to be always, hey, you know what? Let me just write this code. We think about the security later.
Yeah.
You know what? Let me just build the server room. I secure it later.
Yeah.
But it starts actually, so chicken or egg, chicken yeah. or egg, chicken
it's
egg.
It's a good point. It's a very good
so
point.
Did you ever went back home
mm-hmm.
because you forgot the water bottle under the sun? You know, if you buy water bottles, it says, yeah. please do not leave
under
sun. Direct sunlight. Yeah. Did you ever went back home because you left the water, saying, oh no, I have to go, seriously. I forgot the water bottle at home in Sydney, so I'm in Redmond at the moment. Should you close the bottle? No. But what if I notice I got my door open or the oven open?
Exactly. So that's the point where you would fly back? We have a lot of people watching right now.
So I live in Dubai. What was your address again?
Okay. And also, like, one of the new attacks we see is all about the identity theft, right? I mean, people get interested in their identity of people so that they can utilize that to gain more access. And we see a clear trend there. I mean, one of the research coming from McAfee, from Robert Siliciano, is that 75% of the users are using the same password on every website they are visiting. So when I usually teach my security class, I say, like, look left, look right. Chances are that most of you are using the same password you have on Facebook for your Active Directory at work, right? And what do the hackers do, right?
Can I be honest?
Tell me.
Based on my own experience, so we say 75%?
Yeah.
Sometimes the number is even higher. And you'll be even surprised how many IT professionals do that.
Yeah.
It is really scary.
It is.
Yes, I know it's convenience. And yes, I'm not a password generator. But again, Windows 7, Windows 8 has a beautiful Windows credential tool inside. Yeah. You can go and use it. Or there are many other freeways if you don't want to use the Microsoft one.
Yeah.
When I say freeway, think twice. Okay? Think twice. So it's really important.
Yeah. And don't believe
you can download
any
from my
links,
blog, by the way.
If you download anything from Erdal, what was your link? Erdal.org. Okay, so basically what hackers do then, or the attackers, they know this weakness of the user. They try to find like a website which is less secure. They gain access and get those credentials. And guess what? They're using then the same credentials for getting into your corporate environment, for logging into your banking account, and transfer some money from your account to some hacker accounts, right? Not pointing out to you.
Yeah, no, right? No. So saying that, let's talk a little bit about passwords.
Yeah.
We're going to crack the password. He's going to do the Microsoft way, which is pass the hash.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it the bad guy's way, which is crack the hash. So we're going to crack the password very shortly, but I'm going to show you a website where you can, let's go to that website. No, not this one. That's my little blog. And look, my blog starts with say, how safe is your computer? Yeah. Seriously,
and
that's
let me guess, I can click on it and it will scan my computer?
No.
For free?
I can assure you, I am one of the good guys. I'm on a clearance, okay? I teach, look, I flew all the way from Sydney to Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
to teach an ISO class, which we're going to cover a little bit in chapter 2.
Okay.
I flew worldwide talking about security. So we're going to tease each other. Yeah. But it's seriously, as we have thousands of people watching live, hopefully. if not, hundreds and thousands of people, you know. Being a bit
hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, they're going to go and watch it from the MBA.com, Microsoft MBA,
around
right?
Around 2 million, I think, right?
All right, what they can do is they can go to their favorite search engine, which is Bing, and they can
Why you were laughing when you said favorite engine, which is Bing?
I was not. It was a camera guy. Okay. Opcrack.
Mm-hmm.
Just put the word opcrack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to demonstrate how the tool works. But more importantly, let's go talk about tables.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many of you are thinking probably, hey, I love my Windows XP. Yes, Windows XP, I don't want to go to Windows 7 or Windows 8. Stop.
Take a
break.
I
truly remember when Windows 98 was popular. People used to say, there was a group back then, we didn't have any Facebook. We had, I don't know if some of you remember, you know, some other chat ways, some groups, some community website.
It was IRC, right?
Yes.
Good old times.
You know, people open groups saying, today they would open Facebook fan page. I don't want to go to Windows XP. I love Windows 98.
Yeah.
Then nobody remembered 98.
Correct.
Okay. You didn't want to go to Vista as an independent. I appreciate that. Okay. It's your choice. But Windows 7, Windows 8, especially 8.1 update 1.
Yeah.
Okay? Please, go ahead to TechNet website. I'm not getting paid by Microsoft. Can you put my title, please? I have nothing to do with Microsoft. They just pay my bills. No, just joking. as you can see, I'm an independent working for Chem Technologies, okay? Yeah. Selling load balancers. Yes, we are a Microsoft partner. But I do security because it's my passion. Yeah. Soon I'm going to be doctor of security. I'm writing
doctor.
Thesis. Yes.
So you're going to write me a prescription?
That's what I want to ask. And, you know, people say, I love my Windows XP. So why should go to Windows 7 or 8?
Yeah.
Yesterday, we went to a huge, I don't want to mention the name, huge chain worldwide. We got in Australia. They sell everything.
Yeah.
First thing which I looked in their computers, ethically, they said they're using Windows XP. ATM, I saw an ATM still with Windows XP. All right, Why? Forget about everything. Look at this website. This website is going to tell you why. If you're using German, you're a bit more secure. You're not Deutschland,
like more secure by the
You know, if you're using XP and your password doesn't have any special characters, the table to crack your password, I don't care how long it is, it's just 380 megabytes.
Wow.
If you have, you know, if you have any special characters.
Yeah.
And look at this. It's jumping from 380 megabytes to 7.5 gigabytes. So probably you're asking me, what is this tables now, right? This is basically word files which has been collected together, hashes which have been collected together to guess your password. Your password, not my one. Because my one is more than 15 characters. All right, back to the screen. If you're using XP German with special characters, you know, we have that funny characters, yes. Double S.
Yeah. I still remember
it's 7.4. Okay, sounds good, right? Just move to Vista. Vista, 99% rate, it's bigger than XP, so it's more secure, for sure. I'm going to jump straight to what you want to see. Windows 7 and Windows 8. It's still called Vista here. That's, you know, company. If your password is between 5 to 12 characters with spatial characters, you know,
including
around
space.
60 gig, including space. If you have some extra, I don't know if you notice, I'm going to just jump straight to Windows 8. Look, only up to 8 characters here. Password up to 8 characters can be cracked.
Yeah.
And the table is 2 terabytes.
So how long is it going to take me?
You know, make sure you...
Lots of coffee?
Before you fly to Dubai, may you start the process.
Okay.
Then next time on your trip to Redmond, maybe, depending on your computer processing.
Okay.
So I think this explains everything. Let's look again. 2 terabyte versus 380 megabyte. Or let's be more realistic, 7.5 gigabyte. So, and I'm going to show you very shortly how easy you can use this tool. Just double click. It's gonna, for the demonstration purpose, I'm gonna use a short password. Otherwise, we're gonna wait a long time.
Yeah,
and you're gonna
you
see how easy it is. And it's free.
Yeah.
Look, I always say physical security or software security. I say always physical security because as a penetration tester, if I can touch the computer, if I touch the computer, I can own the computer.
Correct.
Again, last year, me and a good friend of mine, Raymond, we had beautiful two sessions at TechEd, which is called Pound, What's Next. See how you can, please go ahead and watch it for Channel 9, how you can remove viruses straight with inbuilt Windows 7, Windows 8 tools. This is little big information for all of us to protect and go into the security space.
All right. Very good point, Erdal, very good point. And I think this highlights a lot the importance of complex passwords. And like, there's one more aspect what we keep seeing now, I think, is called like the black market. I mean, we talk a lot about black markets and like you can buy certain goods which you should not buy, right? And surprisingly, this goes pretty popular right now. I mean, when I look into all the security news as well, there's a lot of things going on, like saying a particular bank lost like 15,000 credit card informations. But did you ever thought about where those informations end up? I mean, let me just show you quickly one of those screenshots from one of these websites here. I mean, this is a real website which exists on the Tor network. And all you can do there is basically you choose the credit card type you want. Let's say I want to get a MasterCard. It expires in November 2014. I have the code. I know it's from US. It's from a particular bank. And let me just buy it for just under $27, right? I buy a credit card with no limits for $27. I mean, it's that easy. You just go to a website, you download that credit card information, and chances are, to be honest, like we did some tests that every time some guy said, no, I'm secure, I never share my information, we could just go to certain websites, which we'll also show later in some of the modules, and guess what? We see at least some information, right? I mean, yesterday we went to one of our colleagues, we typed in his name, we had his phone number, his house from his landline number. We found the value of his apartment, right? How much he paid for his apartment. I mean, and that's what, how long did it took, Erda? I think 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
30 seconds. Yeah. I mean, yes, I need this guy.
Yeah.
He's a security consultant here in Microsoft.
Yeah.
And I said, I know how much you bought your house for.
Yeah, and he was like, said, ah, no way. Come on. Give me a break. I'm
in
security.
In a few seconds, we're going to do this demo.
Yeah.
Can we switch to my screen for a second? I got a few more screenshots here. Look at this. You can buy anything from the internet.
Wow.
Anything. Credit cards. Anything. So why are we showing you this? We are showing you this to not just... this is made by a friend, which is called Dan Maes. He's in Australia, Melbourne. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for sharing his slide deck with us. So you can buy everything on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think, what happened to your credit card data? Now you know where it is.
Exactly.
You not?
Okay. So basically, with all that happening, we really see that the perfect storm is there, right? I mean... How many times, Erdal, we go on CNET, the DNET, and how all those different blogs? And hey, let's be honest, like a lot of information comes now from social networks like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, right? And how many times we go there and we say, oh, a certain government account has been hacked, or a particular nation has hacked the other nation, right? Erdal, tell us a little bit about this perfect storm happening and all these different attacks you see in the news, right?
Okay. One of the key points here, hacking is not scripted job anymore. Hacking is not, you know, there are different hackers. Black hat hackers,
yeah.
They are the bad guys. They are there to harm you.
Yeah.
Gray hackers are people that used to be hackers,
mm-hmm.
which switched to be penetration testers.
So like
they
you.
Know both sides. No.
I mean, I read your first article on Pentest Magazine, which
Pentest
was...
Magazine? Yeah, you know, anybody. I was a bit busy, buddy. Okay, I can tell you that part. It was on a magazine as well, interviewing their first...
Yeah.
They asked me, how did you start in the hacking business? To be honest, I didn't even have a computer.
My brother, hack without a computer?
My brother had a James Bond bag, if you remember, with 3-digit password.
Okay.
And I knew he was hiding there. Hello, say that. you know, something. It took me weeks to, one by one, I was testing the password. I done a manual brute force attack, basically.
Yeah.
I can tell you that far. What I found there, after weeks, made me the most popular kid between boys in primary school. okay, this is the bad side.
Okay.
Okay. But to be honest, after that, I started to explore. I had good mentors in the industry. Which helped me as well.
Very good.
I was lucky enough to meet the right people, but it's not this anymore. Believe it or not, at the moment, governments, if you're reading the news, you are aware, governments hiring professional security guys.
Experts. They're called experts.
And they do hack.
Correct.
It was on the news. I don't know if I should mention the country name. Probably not, but they did collect it more than 7 petabytes. Okay, stop.
Not terabyte, right?
Not gigabyte, not terabyte, petabyte.
So I think 1 petabyte is 1,000 terabyte?
Yeah. To be honest, it's like billion, I don't know how much money this makes. It's too much information. What I'm trying to tell is governments. This is governments.
Yeah.
I think I can say Germany just hired 2,000. You were telling me,
well,
right?
Yeah. Well, I saw it on one of the newspapers, basically, that the German government has recently hired quite a few IT security experts for their new military base. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is. It is getting.
It's everywhere.
It is not anymore that black hat or hacktivism. We got, you know, we got people calls for reason. Their aim is like Greenpeace. You know, I love the trees. They do protest.
Yeah.
And hackers say, hey, you, I didn't like your shirt. They get people together and they hack the government website. You know, shirt is just an example.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak politics here. My job is purely security. But there is one thing to think.
Mm-hmm.
Security. Good. We are all in social media. I'm writing my PhD, my doctorate thesis on this.
Yeah.
I'm talking in many conferences on this. Think what you share.
Yeah. Think twice, basically, before you click on like, before you click on post. I mean, that's the number one recommendation probably on social networks.
Why? You're going to see it again shortly. We're going to demonstrate it to you. So Very shortly, we're going to have a small break. But then we're going to talk about a couple of key elements where hopefully, look, I don't want to scare you. Milad asked me yesterday the question. Seriously, what do you think? What is the most secure way? The most secure way is not to use anything. Just go out of the world, you know?
Correct.
But a big security company, they sell millions of the antivirus products, okay? Or the firewall products. Yeah. Huge name, very respectable gentleman. I respect his work. His kid was kidnapped. And he had to pay 3 billion euros.
Wow.
This guy, there was no vulnerability in his software, but he couldn't, you know, he was so focused on something else. So security is a two-way authentication factor these days. It's not anymore one way. Correct. So you can't just say, Microsoft is bad, I'm hacked because of Microsoft. Seriously, this logo is not letting me tell this. The main thing is here, okay? Any company, forget, I'm independent.
Yeah.
I got other devices. I'm in Redmond, I'm not going to mention them too much, okay? I got other devices which you have right front in front of you, in your hands. And these other devices have been used. Some of them are a bit more vulnerable, some of them are less, but it's the applications which we use. It's the applications, the process, the thoughts which we have to change, Milad.
Correct. And basically, that's also what we will cover when we look into Windows security in general, like talking about this application layer and how do you secure that and how do you mitigate these security scenarios. I mean, those are really good points. I mean, one of the examples I also have, like one of the major accounts we visited, they recently said, the biggest portion of our IT security budget is not going anymore into our own infrastructure. It's going into our supply chain because we see that basically hackers got interested to get into the supply chain so that they are getting into our company. Because guess what? Who is more trustworthy? The guy who brings every morning the milk into the company or the unknown guy, right? So obviously that would be the guy who is bringing the milk in. So that's another factor we see. So hacktivism through the supply chain. And this brings us actually to the end to the first module, which is all about the threat landscape today. I know it might sound a little bit scary, but we do that in order to drive some awareness around what is going on across the industries in the threat landscape so that you really, that we got your attention really, and that you enjoy a lot of the new, of the other demos we will show, as well as the security capabilities, and hopefully that you see the value of it and integrate them into your own production environment. So with that, I want to thank you first around what is happening, what we did so far. And we will see each other in the next 10 minutes. Thanks, thank you a lot.
So don't CP anyway. 10 minutes break, biology break, or whatever you want to call it. Make sure you make your teas, coffees, put your phones on the mute. We're going to be here. You will miss a lot.
All right. Take care, guys.